Mustn't get distracted. Also, Leeds Rhinos won the triple yesterday in Manchester as well. That must have irritated Manchester so much to have Leeds winning in Manchester. Oh, it's great. Not that I'm territorial or anything much. Anybody heard about Kanye West? Kanye West. I think he thinks he's sort of like it, doesn't he? Does he think he's really important? Like the most. He wants to be president now. Okay, great. He bombed, and on an MTV show, Taylor Swift won an MTV award, and he got up and basically said Beyonce should have won it, which is not really appropriate or tactful. Even if you are the most important person in the world. And so he eventually was persuaded to issue an apology, and it went like this. I'm so, lots of those, sorry to Taylor Swift and her fans and her mom, Andrea. I'm sorry to my fans if I let you guys down! I'm sorry to my friends at MTV. I will apologize to Taylor tomorrow. Welcome to the real world! Everybody wanna boo me, but I'm a fan of real pop culture. I don't know about you, but I don't think that constitutes a proper apology. Okay. There's no owning up to what he did wrong, there's no taking responsibility, and there's no saying that he's sorry for what he did to hurt somebody. Compare that with Benedict Cumberbatch. And he, I don't know if you recall a few, Benedict Cumberbatch, just in case you're not aware, he's a famous actor. Probably more significant, really, than Kanye West, in my opinion. Anyway, he referred to some actors as coloured, okay, which is not appropriate. And afterwards, when he apologised, he said this: I'm devastated. He took, you know, he applied the emotion to himself to have caused offence by using this outmoded terminology. I offer my sincere apologies. I make no excuse for being an idiot, and I know the damage done. That's a proper apology. Very interesting. Saying sorry is powerful, but difficult. And generally speaking, we're not very good at it. And when somebody says they're sorry, the response is what? Somebody says, I'm sorry to you, what do you say? I forgive you. In a way, that's harder, or at least it's as hard, to say I forgive you. We'll look at this sorry thing a bit more another time. I want to just talk about forgiveness and looking at the power of forgiveness. How sometimes you say, I forgive you, when somebody says, I'm sorry, but sometimes you have to say, forgive you, when they don't as well. And it's a really powerful way of restoring and finding healing when your relationships have been hurt and damaged. So we're in a little series about relationships at the moment. We started a couple of weeks ago. We talked about if you want to find good friends, seek character. Somebody was listening. That's great. Seek character if you want to find good friends. It's all on the website if you want it. Last week we looked at how false beliefs foil friendships. How you need to know the truth about yourself in order to have healthy relationships. This week we're looking at how forgiveness brings healing. Healing the hurts in broken relationships. Learning about the power of forgiveness to do that. And I think today for some of you it'll be a very significant moment. This issue of saying I forgive you to God or to each other is hugely powerful. It breaks the enemy's power in our lives in many ways. And I want you to be open to God touching your heart today. Even if this is your first time, you've never been before, maybe this is why you're here, to get this sorted and to receive healing in your life today for this. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 18. There's Bibles in your pews, but I'm using a different version. There's Bibles, no doubt, on your personal digital devices, if you're not checking on Facebook, that is. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew is one of the four biographies about Jesus, written not long after he died, in the generation after he died, as they began to tell stories about what Jesus had said and done. And this is one of the famous passages. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus, and he asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to Seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king. So Jesus has answered the question, but then he goes on to tell a funny story to illustrate it. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. That's a ridiculous amount. That's more than the national debt at the time. This is like saying £1 billion, okay? So it's meant to be a caricature. It's not serious. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. My wife is worth tons, but I'm not sure she could repay £1 billion debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I'll pay back everything. Huh. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. The price of a coffee. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I cancel all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father would treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. It's meant to be a funny story, okay? He's not saying that God will torture us, because if I'm being tortured, I can't do any repayment, can I? So it's a caricature. We've all been hurt in relationships, and we've all hurt other people in relationships. And the biblical response is all about forgiveness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for everything you've given us. We thank you for the money that is offered to this church week in, week out by standing order. We thank you for the opportunity to use this building that the Methodists let us have. We thank you for our friendships and our relationships here. We thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus, and for loving us enough to allow sending him to die for us so that you could forgive us. We're so grateful for that. We ask you to come today. I ask your Holy Spirit to come and to fall on us. And we give you permission to shine a light in our hearts on the stuff where we have forgiveness business to do this morning. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together, shall we? We don't often do this, but let's do this. I think it seems to be appropriate. In fact, why don't you stand up? You look all a bit sitting down-ish to me to say this. Let's say it all together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Do sit down. How many times should we forgive? Peter comes and asks the question about forgiveness. How many times should I forgive my brother? You can imagine the backstory. Peter is a volatile character, so he's probably pretty upset. Someone's upset him, almost certainly. And he's wondering how often he's going to have to forgive him. Or quite likely, he's upset somebody else. He did that quite a lot. And he's going to wonder how often they're going to have to forgive him before he runs out of grace. Or maybe Peter's taken offense at something somebody said. He's a bit prickly, and he's feeling a bit self-righteous, you know. They said that about me. He just wants to sort of hold on to the grudge a bit more, a little bit longer before he forgives him. And he's testing how long he can do that. Or maybe it's a deeper question. What if someone says they're sorry to you and you forgive them and then they do it again? Do you do it, forgive them again? And then if they do it again, do you have to forgive them again? Or worse, what if they won't even say they're sorry? And you're just having to live with this numpty who keeps abusing you in one way or another. What about then? You know, Jesus, I've done really well, but this moron keeps parking in my spot every morning. I've forgiven him 7 times now. Is it okay for me to go and thump him? And I don't think Peter found Jesus' response terribly helpful. Basically, he says, just keep forgiving. What? After I've let him park in my space 7 times? What? He hasn't even said sorry? What? I've just got to keep forgiving again and again? What if there's no remorse or repentance? What if they keep hurting me? What if nothing changes? Don't they at least have to try? And then Jesus tells this funny story. A story about the king who's in the mood to be gracious and forgiving and sorts out his debtors, and this preposterous bill gets written off just because he feels like it. And then the guy tries to collect a minuscule debt, and the king loses his cool and throws the guy into jail. And Jesus is basically turning to Peter and he's saying, this is how your heavenly Father operates. Just forgive, won't you? Just do it, is what he's saying. You see, we today, you and I, we're just the recipients of just extravagant grace. Undeserved, extraordinary. That we humble mortal beings can go to the King of the universe and have him forgive us for all the rubbish that we put between us and him. It's extraordinary. He's forgiven us all that stuff. He just keeps forgiving us. And every time we go to him, he just forgives us. Some of you don't quite believe that, actually. God can't forgive me for that. He does. He just extravagantly swathes torrents of forgiveness coming out to us. And we, in turn, are to forgive all those who sin against us. So I just want you to think about that in relation to your own life a bit. Who's hurt you? Most of you at that point, a name came to mind, or 2 or 3 names came to mind. Have you got any ongoing little resentment just chuntering away underneath? You know, you sort of said sorry, but actually underneath you're still... That's chuntering, by the way. Or maybe you've upset somebody and hurt somebody and you've found it difficult to say sorry. That's mainly the problem husbands and wives have. They sort of live together really closely and they're always irritating each other and they never say sorry. I'm just going to go quiet. I'm not going to speak. I'm going to withdraw. Or I'll shout, but I'm not going to say sorry to her. We'll make them crawl first. Just remember the way the King of the universe strode across the cosmos to you. Just because he wanted to make it right with you. So where have you been hurt? Maybe at work, maybe a boss or a colleague, maybe family, grandparents, parents, siblings, children, maybe in your marriage, or most certainly in your marriage. Maybe amongst friends, maybe in this church. This community here, almost certainly, to be honest. God puts us together with people who are unlike us, and we bounce off against each other, and we sharpen each other, and we need to apologize and forgive each other. And when there's any sort of hurt like that, any sort of unresolvedness in a relationship, the enemy just sticks a pin in it and just works away at it, making it worse and painful and It never heals, and it just fractures the relationship, and the emotions of guilt and shame and insecurity begin to build up around it, and anger. And we can talk about it, and we can justify it, and we can explain it, but all the time there's this discord building up and this division building up, and the enemy is just stirring it. See, forgiveness doesn't mean, when I say forgive, I don't mean forget. I don't believe forgive and forget. I don't forget isn't necessarily the same thing at all. You may need to forget, but that's a different issue. Forgive is forgive. It doesn't mean that whoever hurt you there aren't consequences to that. If you've been hurt, you've been hurt, you've been hurt. Still forgive. It doesn't mean to say it doesn't matter. So when you reply then, somebody says, sorry, don't say it doesn't matter, I forgive you. It does matter, and that's why you're forgiving. It simply means that you choose to do the thing that's in your power to do, which is to forgive. The disciple of Jesus is called to forgive, 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 and then forgive again. Without recompense, without justification, with nothing held back, so that one day we can stand before the King who's forgiven us everything, and you can say, I've forgiven. I just want to introduce you to some of my friends here in this church, and indeed one of them is a very close friend. She's my wife. And I want you to, I just asked them to come and just share a little story about, what you know who you are, to come up now while I'm introducing you, about situations they ended up in where they were in the relationship had broken down and forgiveness was needed. And I've got quite a few of them coming up, so we're not going to be able to hear all the stories, but I just want to really illustrate, come up here, stand up here, up this bit here, how these things emerge and what happens next. Okay. I'll just go behind here. Yeah, they do this much better on the X Factor. My first story, what happened to me was, I've got lots of opportunities to say, to receive forgiveness as well as forgive. But for me, in one of my businesses a few years ago, I had a young man working for me. He was very successful. He did really well in our business. And then he took the intellectual property that we'd given him and the marketing and the everything else, the client bank, and he moved off to a competitor just down the road in complete breach of contracts and everything else. He was another leader in the same church we were in. We were both leaders in the church. And I felt really hurt. I was financially hurt, and I felt really hurt by it. And John Mumford, who was my pastor at the time, he confronted me on it. He said, what are you going to do? Are you going to take this guy to court? Are you going to pursue this fellow in the church? Matthew 18, just before the bit we read, is all about how you resolve those sorts of things. And he said, you need to forgive him. And I had to go through a process of forgiving him. It didn't do away with the pain or the cost, but we didn't go to lawyers, we didn't do anything else, we just forgave him, let it go. It was a hard thing to do, but it was the only way that I could grow as a person. It was the only way I could carry on leading in any form of integrity at all. It was the only way I could continue running my business properly, was by forgiving. Let me ask Pauline, what was the situation in which you felt you had to forgive somebody?
My father was going into a care home, and all the contents of his flat were being distributed between the family. Mm-hmm. And my sister thought that I didn't want her to have a washing machine. And from that ensued a really big breakdown in our relationship. And my sister is a Christian.
Over a washing machine?
Yes.
Yeah. And wills. Wills are a great place for this sort of thing to occur.
My father was still actually alive at that point.
Ah, okay. Over a washing machine. Fantastic. Teresa, what was the situation for you?
My husband of 15 years, who I had lived with and ministered with, told me he was leaving me because he didn't love me and he probably never had loved me.
That must have been... I bet forgiveness wasn't top of your agenda at that point.
Actually, it was, because I knew that bit at the end of Matthew, that if I didn't forgive, if I held on to my justifiable hurt and all the rest of it, like this. God couldn't put his healing into my hand. And so I chose.
Okay. Colin, what was your side of that?
For those of you who don't know Teresa and myself, I'm Teresa's husband. My half is about forgiving myself. Although this instance is 26 years ago now, I still regularly have to revisit it with God and forgive myself because I can't believe how much I managed to hurt Teresa and our daughter over that period.
Michelle?
Mine was with my friend Alison. and we'd had a breakdown in the relationship partly because I was in a chaotic state at the time. Alison was trying to support me and there was a lot of miscommunication, misunderstanding, which about sums it up.
Okay. Do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I was learning, we were both learning how to relate in that relationship of caring and friendship, and so we were both on a, weren't we, a learning sort of curve, and it went a bit skewy because I didn't get things right all the time. And I still don't.
Yeah, well, most of the time she does. So what did you actually do, Pauline? How did you get through that process of forgiving her?
Historically, my sister's 12 years older, so she'd always sort of parented me, and we were very close. But through the washing machine incident, a lot of underlying resentments and things had been revealed. And over the next 12 months, whenever I saw her, she just looked at me as if she hated me. And I felt that hatred from her. And in Jesus, I forgave her, or I thought I had. And so for 10 years, I sort of decided to step back from the relationship and I didn't have anything to do with her. But I kept feeling not right about it before God. I kept thinking, this ain't right. But I knew I'd forgiven her. But then I heard about this whole thing of being offended. And in my own mind, I had justified how I still felt towards her. So I had to just give that offence over to Jesus. And that's what I did. I just thought, all right, God, I give you the offence. And from that, everything was just different. It was me letting go of all the feelings of justification, really, of how I was feeling.
Yeah. Okay, great. Teresa, what did you actually do?
I chose to forgive. And that lasted about 3.5 seconds. And I chose to forgive again. And the 70 times 7 probably wasn't as many as I had to do it. But in choosing to do it, it sort of opened up a space for God to bring healing and him to get in the right place in my life. But also, I recognised a point where, as David talked about, it was just the enemy going poke, poke, and I could say, push off, that's been forgiven. And that sort of broke something.
What did you say to Colin?
Did I ever say, I forgive you? Right. When?
Let Colin say.
What Teresa and I are sharing is an intensely complicated scenario, and it's quite a long time ago now, but Teresa did forgive me, and one of the most powerful parts of our testimony is that in the last 26 years, in the one or two disagreements that we might have had every day, She's never done the normal human thing of dragging things from the past and throwing it at me as an accusation or never once in 26 years. And that's part of the strength of what Teresa has done in choosing to forgive. And for myself, I had to do the same. As I shared, for each year around this time, I think to myself, good grief, how did you do that? But God and I reflect on that. This is not the enemy interfering with me. It's God and me working through it, reflecting back on it, and using it in a positive way. I spent time talking with husbands about protecting their lives and their keeping right with God and avoiding affairs. We've spent time ministering to married couples, and that has all come out of the fact that we've been able to accept and receive forgiveness from each other and from God.
Great, thank you. What did you do, Michelle?
What happened with us was we were in a church meeting, and to anybody, an onlooker, it would have just seemed like we took communion together, we shared bread, we shared wine, we gave each other a hug, maybe a bit longer than normal, and went home. But what people didn't see was this gaze that came across the room before that. And we both looked at each other, and it was like we both knew that we needed to take communion. And it was one of those times, usually words are needed, but it was one of those times where we didn't need any words. We just took communion, and in doing that, there was like a relinquishment of all that had gone on, of all the debris seemed to be blown away. And it was just one of those sort of God-inspired moments of wisdom. And we were both changed, I think, through it. And for me, it meant afterwards, as well as our relationship, it seemed to unlock some other stuff for me as well and help me move on in that.
I think for me, it was, there was something very powerful about just engaging in that process of forgiveness in the context of communion. It wasn't something either of us had gone to the meeting planning to do, but it was a God moment, and it made both of us think, I think, that every time there's communion, it's a God opportunity to engage in forgiveness and receiving forgiveness and giving it. And I think the thing about it was that for me, I absolutely knew that at the full extent, I knew that we had forgiven each other. Even though, like Michelle said, there weren't words, you know, we just knew, didn't we? We absolutely knew that we had, and that was very, it was just so right for the context and what we were going through.
Great. Thank you, guys. So thank you. Powerful stuff, eh? Your turn. Scott Peck said this. He said, forgiveness is setting the captive free and realizing that you were the captive. So I want you to spend some time thinking over your life and about people who may have hurt you, where forgiveness is required, where you need to forgive people. And I've just got a very poor little graphic here, which I'm just going to pass around. If my assistants in the front row can... In fact, you can take that side. And my new friends here, can you get them round somehow around the back? There's loads of pens here. And what I'd like you to do is just think back over your life and jot down the name or the circumstance of something which is... just as I've been talking, as I've been praying, has popped into your mind. Oh, that thing that happened then. It may have been yesterday. It may have been when you were a child. It may be several things. It may be something that repeats that hasn't been dealt with. You're not going to hand this in. You don't have to share it with anybody. This is just a way for you to engage with God about how he's speaking to you. Some of the things you'll jot down are really easy things, and they're sort of, you can just bat them away. It's just easy to forgive and they can go. But some things are really deep and they hurt and they're traumatic, and it's not that easy to do. Harrowing things. And if so, just by writing it down and it pops up and you think, I can't deal with that, then I'd encourage you to get somewhere where you can. Your house group, perhaps, or a counselor, or Just address it. Don't let it just sit there, poisoning your life. We're going to go to worship in a moment. And during worship, I wanted this to be the theme of worship, receiving God's forgiveness for us and us extending forgiveness to each other and to whoever else who isn't here, who needs to receive our forgiveness. They may have said sorry, they may not have said sorry. It may be God that you need to have this conversation with. You feel that he's hurt you. It may be somebody in this room, it may not be somebody in this room. And then what we've got at the front here is two shredders, okay? So, you don't have to do this. Some of you, this may be too hard, and you may just need to take this piece of paper away and deal with it later, and burn it or shred it or something some other time. But if in writing it down, that helps you bring it to the fore, and in worship and in prayer, you can say to God, I forgive this, help me to forgive more. And then as a way of sort of parking it, getting rid of it, come to the front, and just, it makes a bit of a noise, don't worry about it, just slide the thing in, and it's a sort of, dealt with, gone, shredded, put away. Alex, do you want to come up? I'm just going to pray, and then we'll worship. Would you like to stand? There's nothing magic in standing. It's partly just you've been sitting for a while, and it's partly there's something about changing your physical posture, which is sort of, right, God, I'm ready. I'm going to do something different here. Let's just pray. Let's just ask him to come. That's it. That's it. Let him come. Happening already. Some of you are grappling with stuff right now, already. And this is a moment of freedom and healing for you, if you'll grasp it, just between you and God, and do this forgiveness thing. Hear what he's saying to you. Holy Spirit, would you come? That's it, let him come. Bless what you're doing. We're just going to use these songs as a way of talking to God and working through the what he's speaking to you about. And afterwards I'll come back and we'll pray for some other stuff as well. But if I can encourage you to respond if that's what you want to do and come and do some shredding. Don't worry about the noise it makes. Standing, you could see the Lord's engaged with people and there's stuff happening, and some of you have come and processed things through this shredding thing. And so I pray for you, those of you who are sort of addressing it, I pray that I'm going to pray for you that you will, as you have forgiven, you will receive healing and you will receive forgiveness. So Lord, I thank you for what you're doing, and I pray for your healing to come now in those relationships. I pray for your healing to come in the hearts of the people doing the forgiving. Would you heal them? That's it. That's it. Let it go. I speak freedom to you in Jesus' name. And I break the power of the enemy to hold it against you. the name of Jesus, I break his power over you. Where this has sort of held you back and irritated you and just popped up at all the wrong moments, and that little grudge thing has been there, you've now said sorry, you've now forgiven, and that can go. So I break the enemy's power over you. I set you free in Jesus' name. That's what you're doing. Some other stuff. I think some of you may be here who've been struggling recently with being sort of picked on because of your faith, by the way, at work or in studies or whatever. So if you feel that you've been picked on because of your faith, Jerry had the word and he said to read Romans 12. So I encourage you to do that. But we'd love to pray for you as well, for the Lord's encouragement and strengthening of you in your faith. Has anybody very quickly got any words of knowledge or any prophecies that they're bubbling with and that we need to share right now? Very quickly. I love that noise. I love that noise. It means something's happening. It's something natural, but it represents something happening in the supernatural. Very important. Anybody? No? Okay, if you've come this morning and you'd like us to pray for you, maybe you need a healing prayer or prayer of your finances or your studies or relationships, whatever, we'd love to pray for you. Come up to me at the front and I'll find somebody to pray for you, or just turn to somebody who looks like a Christian near you and ask them to pray with you. Let me just finish and then we'll go. Lord, I thank you for the power of forgiveness. Thank you for what you did in forgiving us, as we've been singing. We need your forgiveness to set us free, and Lord, we ask you to help us forgive and release healing in our lives for those who've hurt us and where we've been damaged. And I pray for that this congregation, the people here, will know your presence and your Holy Spirit filling them as they walk from this place, as they go back to their places of work and family, and they face those relationships again. Will they sense your presence and the power of your forgiveness in their lives? In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard. Have a great week.